Well, let's read God's word together, shall we? We've been going through the book of Galatians, and today we're going to be picking up in chapter 5. And so before I unpack all of this, we're just going to read it together. We're going to be reading verses 1 to 15. Last week, I think we went over about three chapters all in one. Now we're like putting on the brakes and slowing right down, because chapter 5 is right at the very heart of Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, and so we're going to slow it down and take our time walking through this together. 5 verse 1, this is where we left off last week. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, of the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and demasculate themselves. I was talking to somebody last week, and they called Paul Spicy Paul. I can see why. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So let's give you a little bit of a recap here in case you're just stepping into this conversation for the first time. We begin by talking about the angry letter. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the churches in Galatia, because there were different teachers, we've been calling them the Galatian intruders, who were saying you need to become Jewish in order to be saved. Faith in Jesus is not enough. You actually have to obey the whole law and the Torah in order to follow Jesus. And this made Paul so angry. I'm going to pick these up or it's going to distract me the whole time. It made him so angry, he writes this letter that is just so full of passion. And in that text that we read this morning is the climax of his rhetoric, where he just gets it all out and tells you exactly how he feels about these people who are saying that you need to go back to the law. And so we talked about how to add to the gospel is actually to lose the gospel. When we try to help the gospel, and what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus, that God loves us, that he reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ. And so it's not by our own good works, it's not by our own ability, it's not by our own good looks or anything else that we can bring to the table that can save us. It's only through Jesus Christ. And anytime we add to that truth, we actually ruin the gospel altogether. To add to the gospel is to lose the gospel. Then we talked about the authority of the gospel. Paul goes on to say, look, my authority doesn't just come from any man, it doesn't come from any institution, because the gospel itself came not from any human origin, but from God. And so he talks about that for a while, and then finally last week we talked about Paul's defense of the gospel. The discipleship is by grace alone. The answer is not more law, but less. So often we think that since we've been saved, it's time to go back to working really hard to be a good Christian. We've got to try really hard not to be a terrible human being and make Jesus look bad. right? So we go back to the law. We go back and say, no, if I follow, you know, all the do's and don'ts perfectly, then Jesus will be pleased with me. Then God will want a relationship with me. And Paul says that is not the case at all. The answer is not more law, but less. And we ended last week in Galatians 5, verse 1, which bears reading again. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not for the law that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This morning, I want to ask a question. What is freedom in Christ actually, though? Because in church, so often we talk about being free in Christ. And sometimes the way that we talk about being free in Christ, we don't look very free. We look kind of miserable. We kind of look like we're under a yoke of slavery. But Paul says that we have been set free. And so what does that mean? What exactly are we free from and what are we free for? Well, in his defense of the gospel, it's really clear that Christ has set us free from sin and death. He set us free from the law and the curse that came with the law. He set us free from all of the anxious striving and the overwhelming shame that comes with trying to be good enough. Christ has set us free from that. But freedom isn't just one side. Freedom has two sides. There's freedom from something, but then there's also freedom for something. And so the natural question that the Galatians who are receiving this letter are probably thinking to themselves, it's like, okay, Paul, I get it. I get that we're free from the law, but what's to stop us from just doing whatever we want whenever we want? Like, I get that we're free from this, but what are we free for? Like, is it just for me? And that is the question that we're going to talk about today. And you've probably heard or maybe even asked the question this way. If we're saved by grace, what is to stop me from living however I want? And you may be tempted to think that the answer is just a little bit more law, just a little pinch of law, right? Just like a little bit of salt, just to have the boundaries in place, and you're free within those boundaries, right? But you just need a little bit of law. But Paul says, don't go back there. In fact, he interjects very quickly and he tells us the only thing that matters in Galatians 5, 6. And if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, if you don't have it underlined on your cell phone, do it. Do it now. Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value." In other words, this thing that you're arguing about who is in and out, doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts. See, Paul says, look, the answer isn't a little bit more law. It's not that little pinch of law to give your life flavor. He warns us actually in verse 9, he says, "A little yeast works its way through the dough." A little bit of law goes a long way. Now, I don't know if you're a baker or not. I am definitely not a baker. You would not want to eat anything that I make unless it's bacon and eggs. I do a good job of that. But if you're a baker, you know that it only takes a little bit of yeast and it works its way through all of the dough so your bread will rise. Well, in the same way, when we try to add to the gospel, even just a little bit, when we just add a little bit to the gospel, it works its way through the entire thing, and it ends up polluting and destroying it. To add just a little bit extra is to adopt the whole law and to reject the whole gospel. As our friend Dane Ortlund reminds us, to add to the gospel is to lose the gospel. All that matters is faith expressing itself through love. In our lawish hearts, not lavish, but our lawish hearts, our natural inclination is to ask the question, what does the law require of me? When I read the Bible and I read the commands in Scripture, what does the law require of me to do? But the better question, the question that we should be asking, is, what does love require of me? And that question doesn't come from myself. I first heard it from Andy Stanley a few years ago. He posed that question in a sermon. And in many ways, it's become my guiding principle for following Jesus. See, the commands in Scripture are all commands based out of love. When we read the commands that Paul gives us in this letter, they're commands of love. But when we come at it through the long lens, when we come at it through the lens of, okay, what do I need to do to be in a good relationship with God? And that's the wrong question. The right question is, what does love require of me? Now, love is a really ambiguous word, isn't it? You talk to somebody about love, and there's going to be all kinds of different definitions about what love means. Is love a feeling? Is it what feels right in the moment? Is it what's best for the other person? Like, how do you define what love is? Well, I would pose to you that the answer is found in Jesus' own words himself in John 13, verse 34. He says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." See, did you notice that Jesus said, "As I have loved you"? He didn't say love as the world loves. He didn't say love as you have been loved. He didn't even say love as you think or feel that you should love. He says love as I have loved you. Well, the obvious question is, how did Christ love us? Well, he loved us enough to tell us the truth. He loved us enough to seek us out and to lift us up when we were broken and wounded and hurt and burdened with shame and religion. He loved us enough to take the full punishment of our sin and carry the weight of death on the cross. That is how Jesus loved us. And Paul says that's the only thing that counts. And so as we return to the question earlier, you know, what are we set free for? The answer is very simple. We are set free for love. We're not set free for ourselves. But we're set free for others. Not to waste our freedom on ourselves and become a slave to the flesh, right? Don't pick up that yoke of slavery. Don't go back to being a slave to your own selfish desires. Don't go back and use it as an opportunity to go back to the law of good works and enslave yourselves once again to religious legalism. No, we are free to love as Christ has loved us. See, in verse 6, there's two words I want you to notice. The first one is faith. Faith expressing itself through love. So faith and love. Let's take a quick look at the word faith here. You know, during COVID, I'm going there. No one wants to think about it. We just want to pretend it never happened. But I need to go there for a moment with you. During COVID, we had people leave our church for various different reasons. Some who thought that we should be, you know, enforcing means. There's that word that I said it to, trigger word there. Other people left who thought that we should be preaching against the vaccines. And I remember I had one conversation with a person, and it doesn't matter what side they were on, and they were yelling at me over the phone, telling me that they were done with the church. And I'll never forget what they said. They said, "You just keep on preaching your beautiful little gospel. There are bigger problems out there." See, what that individual failed to understand is that my faith wasn't in the government. My faith wasn't in the vaccine. My faith wasn't in the freedom convoy. My faith was in Christ. And because my faith was in Christ, I was already free. All of that other stuff was peripheral. Did it matter? Yeah, sure, it mattered. But did it matter more than the gospel? Not a chance. Because in Christ, we've already been set free. So often, we look for external factors to make us free. Maybe we look to governments. Maybe we look to the circumstances in our life, directly around us. But we look for external things to say, now I'm finally free. But the message of the gospel is that you are already free. You can be a slave in a country and have your rights and your dignity taken from you, and in Christ, you are free. Because no one can take away the acceptance and the security and the significance that is found in Christ. See, it comes back to faith. Do you really believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save and transform? Is Jesus actually enough, or is that just something we sing about on Sundays? Is Jesus really all that you need? And the heart that has been shaped by the gospel, that has encountered Jesus, that is the kind of faith that Paul is talking about. He's saying this kind of faith expresses itself in love. You know, to give you another illustration, this one's a little bit more lighthearted. I just love my wife, Melanie, and I can tell this story because she's not here this morning. But she's a great sounding board. So if you know me, you know I'm an ideas person, and if I'm not careful, I'll have a different idea that changes the trajectory of things every week. And so I have to watch myself. And my wife is a great sounding board. And what I love about Melanie is that her facial expressions cannot hide what she is thinking. I will come to her with this thing that I think this is it. This is the great idea. This is what the church needs, and I'll tell it to her. And the look on her face, you know, not the words of her mouth, but the look on her face is like, how dumb can you be? Like it's written right there. It cannot be hidden. What is inside is expressed naturally by her face. And what Paul is telling us is that that kind of faith in Jesus expresses itself in love. So love doesn't become something that we have to do. Oh my goodness, I guess I better love this person because Jesus told me to, and if I'm not, I'm a terrible sinner. No, we love because it seems so unnatural to do it any other way. We love because our hearts have been so shaped by the gospel and so transformed that love flows generously out of the gospel-shaped heart. See, friends, what flows out of you, and I would add the reason that it flows out of you, is a good indicator of what's inside. See, if good works are happening, but you're anxious and you're worried and you're striving, maybe that's an indicator that what's inside of you is a lawish heart. But if you're doing good works and you're loving others and you're taking care of the poor and you're doing all the good things that Jesus asks you to do because you get to do it, that's a sign that the gospel has transformed your heart. And look, friends, I'm not saying that the gospel hasn't taken root in your heart if you don't always feel like the right thing. Because we're human, and we have emotions, and our emotions go up and down. I think we can all understand that there's a depth below human emotion that we're talking about here. We're talking about our affections, what we value, what we prioritize, what's important to us. Let's read verses 13 and 15 together. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." See, Paul tells us that our freedom is not for our own self-indulgence. We're not free to do whatever we want, whenever we want, because to do that is to go back and be a slave to the flesh. What we are free to do is to serve in humility. And again, like he's done before, Paul argues freedom from the law by quoting the law. where he says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Leviticus 19:18. He says, look, if you're so concerned about following the law, the entire law is filled right here. This is it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if I remember correctly, there was somebody who was pretty important who also quoted that verse when he was asked what the greatest commandment of all was. And that, of course, was Jesus. In Matthew 22:36-40, Jesus answers a question of what is the greatest command of the law. And he says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Faith that's built on love and a relationship, and loving your neighbor. All that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And see, Jesus didn't just teach these commands. He didn't just mentally ascribe to them like, yep, okay, check, I believe in this. He embodied them on the cross. Out of perfect love for the Father, he was obedient even to the point of death. And out of perfect love for you and for me, he took our place on that cross. Friends, we have been set free for love. You know, I was just on my heart as I was preparing this message to share a little bit of my own personal story with you. So I grew up in a Christian home. And sometimes when you grow up in a Christian home, it's easy to think that you don't really have a story. You're not even really sure necessarily when you became a Christian. It just kind of all sort of flows into one. It's just the life that you know. But the reason that I think my story needs to be shared is that even as a young boy, the law was well and alive in my heart. And I'm not going to blame the preachers. I'm not going to blame my parents. I'm not going to blame anybody. I can't remember what they taught, but I'll tell you what I remember being taught to me. And what I remember being taught to me is that God needs you to be perfect, and you're not. And so you need to ask for forgiveness because you're a dirty sinner, and you just have to keep doing that over and over again. Because God can't really love you the way that you are. And so you have to somehow earn his love, even if it's just through constantly asking for forgiveness. Through constant penance, somehow or other, I have to, you know, cleanse myself or do the work so that God can love me. See, sometimes the easiest place to distance yourself from God is in church. And I remember there was one time in the during worship, and they were doing some altar ministry, and I was up at the front, and I was repenting again. And I was quite emotional because I just felt like the biggest hypocrite. I felt like I said one thing and I lived another thing. And I read the Gospels and I know how Jesus talked to hypocrites. It's not great, in case you didn't know. And I remember very distinctly that I was expecting the judgment, but it never came. I was expecting God to slap my wrist and say, okay, do better next time. But it never happened. What happened is I had an undeniable experience with Jesus where only what I would describe as what felt like a hug enveloped my entire body. And I felt love and acceptance all at once. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going to live for this God for the rest of my life. And it might sound weird to you that I put the word this God, right? Because, you know, I grew up in church. I knew there's only one God. But what was different about this God is that he already loved me. Whatever God it was that I was serving before didn't really love me. But when I encountered Jesus, I knew what true freedom was. And friends, when your heart has been touched and transformed by the gospel, How can you not love other people? When in the depths of your being, you know how much God loves you. How can that not express itself in love to other people? And I know that many of you here today have tasted that same love. You know exactly what I'm talking about. My story brought you to a certain place in your life. But somewhere along the line, we begin to do good works, not because we want to, but because we have to. But all along, we were called to do it because anything else would seem unnatural. As we go throughout the week, the gospel just kind of gets knocked out of us from Sunday to Sunday. You know, I Mel always bugs me. I don't have a travel mug. I just carry my coffee around everywhere like this, and the kids just dive on me, and coffee goes flying all over the couch and everything else, and it's not good. But think of yourself as that coffee mug. As we go throughout our day, sometimes it just feels like something just smashes it and just feels like the gospel truth gets knocked out of us. The cares and the worries of this life can wear us down without us even realizing it. The creeping bitterness of unforgiveness can steal your faith and rob you of your love. Don't bite and devour one another. The creeping lawishness attacks our faith and it robs our love. Don't add to the gospel, because Jesus is enough. Jesus has always been enough. See, what sets us free is the love of God. And so it's time to lay your burdens down. I want to invite the music team to come on up. And I don't really know where you're at this morning. I don't know if the gospel message is ringing true and loud in your heart. I don't know if you've been burdened by shame. I don't know if you've been frustrated with unforgiveness. I don't know if you've been distracted and thinking that maybe the things of the world will finally satisfy that longing in your soul. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is enough. And that we are the people of the Spirit. And so let us walk by the Spirit. Let us come to Jesus. And yes, we can learn about Jesus. We can experience his presence in this book. Absolutely. We can experience his presence right now. And so as the band plays softly, maybe Holy Forever, if you don't mind, I just want to invite you to come to the front. Not for a time of prayer, but for a time of being with Jesus. Because we have been set free from the slavery of religion and welcomed into a relationship with our loving God. And so I want to encourage and challenge you just to come and worship God. Come and spend time with him. Not to gain anything from him, not to twist his hand, but just to spend time with your loving Heavenly Father. Would you come? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Just by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you just begin to minister to people? Pray that great prayer in Ephesians. Just as people are resting in your Spirit here, as they're not striving, not doing anything, not being frantic, they would know the width and the depth and the height of your love towards them. Father God, we just declare together that we stand firm in the freedom of Christ. God, would we not go back to the yoke of slavery? Would we not go back to our anxious striving or our hurrying or somehow trying to twist your arm, trying to grab the blessing from you when it was there all along? Pray that this week, as we prepare to go from here, that the truth of your love towards each and every one of us would bring deep healing, deep wholeness. It would bring clarity of what matters. It would answer questions of purpose. The peace of God would cover every heart, every mind, that we would know the joy of the Lord and that it would be our strength. Thank you for your goodness, God.